a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning. I'm Senator Craig Teason. I represent District 34 in Rapid City. Pleased to be here this morning. I'll let my colleagues introduce themselves before I start off.
Senator Ernie Otten from District 6, which is the southern part of Sioux Falls, Lenox, Harrisburg, and then T.
Thank you. My name is State Representative Jim Boland. I represent District 16, which is all of Union County, our most southeastern county, and the rural section of Lincoln County, pretty much everything south of Harrisburg. Nice to be here.
Thank you. Well, I'd like to start off this morning by talking a little bit about a sort of a really fun experience that we had in the legislature this week. We had visitors from Canada. Of course, Wednesday was Canada Day. In addition to that, Representative Romkin and I had the opportunity to host some legislators, members of the Legislative Assemblies, MLAs, from both Manitoba and Alberta. And of course, you know, they have a very different legislative system there, a parliamentary British-style system. And so it was really great fun to host those legislators and to talk with them about how we do business here and how they do business there. It was a lot of fun. We also had, of course, the Consul General from Minneapolis, who's responsible for South Dakota as part of his duties representing Canada. We had a joint legislative session. I think it's important to remind ourselves sometimes that Canada is our best neighbor and our best trading partner. Sometimes I think we have such a good relationship that we forget that they are, you know, there are international neighbors to the north, and so we have a lot of trade takes place between Canada and South Dakota, going in both directions. We had some interesting policy discussions. They're interested in their agricultural industry is interested in country of origin labeling. And, of course, they're interested in energy issues, particularly Keystone Pipeline for energy resources out of Alberta. And so we had some good discussions about that. Obviously, those are federal issues, but South Dakota has an interest in them as well. So I think a very nice visit from the Canadians. And I know there were some discussions about potentially legislators or maybe more in a nearer time having executive branch members and perhaps the governor even doing some kind of a visit or trade mission to Canada. So I think good discussions, and always nice to have visits from our neighbors in Canada. And the legislative issue that I'm going to mention briefly is what I think was for many of us sort of a difficult weighing vote when we voted on the minimum wage for youth issue in the Senate. I think all of us are, you know, to some degree a little bit reluctant to, shortly after a public vote on the issue, to sort of, you know, overturn at least a small portion of that vote. I can tell you from my point of view, I told the sponsor of the bill that I need to be convinced that we need to make this change because it'll result in harm if we don't. And if that is the case, if I'm convinced of that, I'll vote to make the change. I listened to the arguments carefully. I think there's a significant case to be made that youth employment could be harmed by this, that especially business people that have fixed budgets, the end result could very likely be that they would have less youth employment, and I think ultimately that would be detrimental. So again, it was to me it's a weighing issue, and at the end of the day, I thought it was important enough to vote to make that what I think is a relatively small change. And for me, it was not something that was discussed a great deal. And when I was talking with constituencies about the minimum wage bill, the youth portion of it wasn't something that was discussed. And I just think that making this change will provide better opportunities for youth. Thank you.
The legislation that I had like to mention, of course, was the Article 5, in which we passed out of the Senate. For those that may not know, Article 5 is a way that the states were given in which to bring about amendments being proposed through the Constitution. And this would be in the area of balancing the budget. And so we have verbiage in our state and verbiage that has already been passed that is the same. There are 12 other states that have now filed, and the process is beginning in those states. And so hopefully we can get a convening of the states then to propose a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution. We also had some bills that are coming forward that are in the arena of school funding. Some of these, I'm not for sure exactly how they're going to tap out, but with the Blue Ribbon Task Force going on and a large oversight of what we're going to be proposing for next year, I think it's premature at this time to begin to move in any direction until this oversight committee does a dig down on the funding mechanisms and then comes back with solid proposals for us. Otherwise, I think that the session has gone fairly good. We're now getting into that rocky moment of getting bills out of each chamber and passing them through. I would expect maybe a few bumps, but on the most part, the session, I think, has gone relatively smooth.
Well, again, just thanks for the opportunity to be here. I'd just like to start off with a personal note that this week in the legislature, the spouse of one of the members of the House of Representatives passed away, that being Gloria Schaefer, the wife of State Representative Jim Schaefer from Kennebec. Many of the legislators took some time this morning to go to a prayer service for her, and I just wanted to start off with that. Just, you know, this is a human process, and sometimes events intrude on what we think are extremely, which are very important issues, but we need to also sometimes take some time to recognize just our own humanity and in that process. I'd like to talk about the highway funding bill that was heard before this House State Affairs Committee this week. We heard a lot of testimony, a lot of groups favoring some type of an increase in revenue to deal with the highway situation here in South Dakota. There were some people and individuals who were opposing that as well, some petroleum dealers, those type of things. We will be taking that bill up in a special you might say bill hearing session of the House State Affairs Committee sometime on Tuesday. I'm not the chairman. I don't know exactly when that committee hearing is going to take place, but it will take place on Tuesday because Wednesday's crossover day. A couple other bills just like to mention. There'll be the governor's proposal for captive insurance companies, which would spend between $6-7 million on that new idea for South Dakota. That will be debated on the House floor. It's passed out of committee, but it'll be debated on the House floor on Tuesday, and there should be some kind of interesting debate on that. And of course, another issue that gained quite a bit of attention in the daily print press, at least, was the bill, sometimes labeled "Guns on Campus" bill, that came before the House, the full House of Representatives yesterday. That would have been on Thursday. A lively debate, a lot of discussion, especially from student groups. A lot of student groups came. In the end, that bill was not passed, and I don't believe that'll be resurrected this session. But I would agree with Senator Otten. I think the session has gone pretty well. We've had quite a bit of cooperation, not only within parties, but across party lines. Obviously, there are some differences, but I think we're going to move forward and we'll have a balanced budget, and we're going to move forward on a number of positive issues for the people of South Dakota.
Do we have any outside callers that want to ask questions?
Jackie Severn, Public Radio. Can you talk a little bit more about the youth minimum wage bill? And as you said, you needed a really good argument to vote for that. And anybody obviously can speak to this if they want. But can you talk a little bit about the argument that the will of the voters would have voted something like this in if they wanted it this way?
I'll start again, and then I'll let the others chime in. I accept that the voters voted in what they wanted. I do distinguish the fact that this was a small part of a sort of a larger minimum wage package. And as I said in my remarks, I think all of us should take pause when we get ready to vote against what a majority of the voters voted in. But I think it's my responsibility in a representative government, and at the end of the day, to do what I think is best for the people. And if I've studied this issue and heard the arguments and am convinced that harm will come from the result that was passed, then I'm going to vote to change it. And that ultimately, at the end of the day, that's what I did.
Just to add to that, one part that we do get around here is the venting process. And one thing that I thought that was in the bill was the cost of living. While I do not believe that at this moment in time the bill itself would make a large impact, what I do feel is in 2 and 3 years a causal effect will end up spiking up. And that is the reason that I voted for it, to make sure that our kids end up having the same opportunities to work. That is one of the greatest life's, not story, but teaching that a kid can have is to have gainful employment. So that is principally why I voted for it.
And I'd just like to add just a little bit there. People know that I'm a pretty strong advocate for the initiative process. But one thing I've learned from being in peer for 7 years now is that one weakness of the initiative process is it doesn't allow for any amendments. You know, a lot of times when a bill is brought forward here in the legislature, when more eyes see it, they can add a little bit of an amendment here or there that can actually make it better or change it just a little bit. And I haven't voted on this bill yet, but I would say that from what I know about the Senate bill that was passed, it actually is probably more attuned to being an amendment to the bill rather than trying to somehow overturn it. That's how I would evaluate it. And that's the one weakness of the initiative process, is that once something goes on the ballot, it doesn't allow for any amendments. It's either all one way or the other. Whereas through the legislative process, when you go through the 4 or 5 steps, there are amendments that can be added that can, in many ways, I think oftentimes improve bills. So we'll see how it goes when it comes to the House. Thank you.
Do we have any other outside callers with questions?
I guess a little bit more than halfway. So what other issues are coming up? You know, we've talked about road funding. We've talked about a lot of things that have already gone through the process and have been settled. What do you guys see coming up as interesting issues down the road?
Well, one bill I'll just mention is House Bill 1207 that I understand was defeated yesterday in the House Taxation Committee. I don't know I know that bill is very important to school people, individuals involved in schools, because it would place some limitations and put the state more in control of the capital outlay funding process that schools have used over the years. The bill was defeated yesterday, I believe, in committee 9-6. There's always ways that things can be resurrected up until the last day. I'm not aware of any of those things, but that is a bill that it has numerous people who are very interested in it. Some bills don't get a lot of attention. That's a bill, though, that has numerous ag groups, educational groups. A lot of people are interested in that bill, so we'll see where that goes. That was an interesting development from yesterday.
I'm going to jump in for a minute, and then I'm going to run off to my committee meeting that I have to get to here shortly. But you know, obviously, I think the majority of the issues have been talked about in the legislature because we're very close to crossover day. You know, many of those issues have not been resolved yet, and so when you get to the last couple of weeks, you're talking about resolution of issues that have been sort of bubbling around in the legislature. So they're, you know, most of them are going from one side to the other, and so they'll get new hearings and new information, and then ultimately come to a solution. And I would just toss in something that hasn't been talked about and maybe won't get talked about, but maybe it will. That is Medicaid funding. And I know there are quiet conversations taking place around the Capitol, around Pierre, around the state, to try to figure out some way that could work for South Dakota. I don't know if that's going to happen. I've indicated from the beginning that I'm interested in having those discussions to see if it can work. Maybe we'll have a discussion about that, and maybe not. But that would be one of those issues that's kind of been dormant that could possibly raise its head. We'll see what happens. Thank you for having me this morning.
Do we have any other outside callers?
Answer your second question first. I don't know why it was defeated specifically. I was not on that committee, and I was not really privy to any of the discussion that was going on. I just heard about that this morning, so I can't answer that question. But as to the specifics, back in the mid-90s, Governor Janklow's plan to revise the state school aid formula brought about caps. Or limitations, they didn't freeze property tax, but they put limitations, especially on the general fund portion that people pay in property taxes. But there are other areas that people pay in property taxes that were not capped. And one of those was capital outlay, along with a very small pension fund, and was one for special ed. I do know that numerous farm groups, agriculture people, say that the taxes that are being paid on capital outlay are escalating at a rapid rate, at least in a number of portions of the state. And as a result of that, there was a committee that was working on that this summer, has brought forward House Bill 1207, which would set some limitations on that. I know school groups have a number of concerns about that. I was really actually kind of surprised the bill was defeated in committee yesterday. That's about the best I can tell you right now, but I know it is a bill that is of great interest to numerous interest groups that are well represented here in the Capitol. Your farm agricultural groups, along with the education groups, everybody is taking note of that bill, and that's why I brought it up. And we'll have to wait and see how that all plays out.
We hadn't seen it, but I was also shocked that it died in committee. Actually, when I look at it, I don't think that we're trying to change the capping mechanisms more as change the curve of where it was going to end up going and trying to get a handle on that. I know a lot of folks, even in my district with the schools, there were concerns about it. And with the productivity tax, West River, it's causing some grief. So I was just really shocked myself that it was defeated.
Are there any questions from the outside callers?